All right, let's get started. My name is Hans Hübner. I'm a programmer, a hardware tinkerer, if you will, and a retro computing enthusiast. And recently, someone gave me this beautiful 1980s Rafi terminal, which is a Bildschirm Text terminal. It didn't have a keyboard, but the alternative would have been scrapyard, so I kind of saved it from that. And motivated by having that, I came up with a plan and idea to recreate the whole Bildschirm Text experience using the web browser, if you will. So what is Bildschirm Text? Many of you will not know. It is kind of a public data system, a predecessor of the internet, which was launched in Germany in 1983. It was run by the German telecom, or the predecessor of German telecom called Deutsche Bundespost. And back then everything was totally regulated. So of course you had to have a permission to, or a certification to connect your software to the public network, and so everything was very tightly controlled. You also didn't really own the decoder, the modem hardware that you used to enter the system. It was rented by the state to you. The modem even included the user ID that you would use in the Bildschirm Text system. It was meant for like normal people. Sitting on their couches, browsing information, booking travel, maybe buying stuff online, and also sending messages. So it was kind of a end user system. And just to set the stage where we are in history, I mean, we are like at the beginning of the home computer revolution. So there was Apple II, IBM, C64. That was kind of what we had at that point in time. So I mean, it wasn't without predecessors. So some of you may know Plato, but there was also CompuServe in the US, which was kind of a similar system, not state run, but similar. And Bildschirm Text directly is directly related to Presto, which is a UK system of a similar kind of technical nature. So your terminal, as I said, was the screen, the TV. At that time, the TV was the only screen in your home, typically, so you wouldn't have normally have a computer. And then we have a telephone, of course, symbolizing the phone line, and the remote control would be your input. And then you would rent this beautiful little modem from the Deutsche Bundespost, which could do 1,200 to 75 baud. So it would receive at 1,200 and send at 75. The idea being that you would really just be a consumer and not a producer of content. So you didn't need a big upstream. 1,200 was pretty slow. 75 really was just for typing in stuff. And then the server side of things was based on mainframe technology. It is difficult at this point in time to figure out what exactly constituted the Bildschirm Text system. So this is a similar vintage Siemens mainframe. Some say the software was written in the UK and then ported to Siemens machines. Others say, well, it was all homegrown. Actually, we don't really know. So, okay, so my plan is to reproduce all of that. So instead of this, of course, we have a web browser. We have a web socket for this, and we have some software written in Common Lisp for that. So my first step, and I mentioned it briefly, was I needed to recreate the keyboard. And this was really, I didn't have a keyboard at first, so I found someone who could borrow me one. And what you see here is a creator's keyboard, which is for people who create Bildschirm Text pages. So it has special keys, for example, for selecting a color or for selecting a character set. It also has this neat little cheat sheet that tells you what graphic characters are on what letters here, and so on and forth. So a typical end user terminal would be much smaller, but this is really the full thing. So what I did is I wrote an XML description of this keyboard. I mean, you know JSON, so XML is pretty similar if you don't know it. And then I went full XML. So XSLT is my favorite programming language, I would say. And it's really good. It's really good, not just because it serves this purpose well, but also because it is really homoiconic, which is something that the Lisp guys always tell you, well, it's homoiconic, but it's not true, because they don't use Lisp as the surface syntax and XSLT does. So and this is why this program, this is a part of an XSLT program, is XML, because it follows all the rules of XML. This is really just the header, and a new feature in XSLT is accumulators that allow you to stream without really relating to using mutation for that. So what I did is I mapped from this description file that I showed in the beginning, which has a key entry for like the lock on the top left and the key codes and something like spaces here, to rules that match these elements. Like here we have a space with a has busy let attribute, this one, and that would create this piece of SVG. And likewise, we have a key with an LED that would create that XSL, that piece of SVG code. And well, of course, you can access variables or attributes from your input elements and the accumulators that are defined here. So it's a very good mapping language, and I can recommend it to everybody. And that's how it looks like. So this is the SVG that that this piece of art creates. The next thing that I needed to do was to extract the font from the terminal, because of course they have fancy special characters, and I wanted the emulation of that to be as faithful as possible. I pondered whether I wanted to look at the ROMs and then try to decode how the characters are represented in the ROM, but then went for this very straightforward scan converter, HDMI, USB solution, so that I have an image of my character set like this, and then write a bit of, well, this is actually the code that generates these pages, and then what? So I kind of thought it shouldn't be too hard to make this into individual images for each character, for each glyph. But I didn't really know how, so I asked ChatGPT. I asked it, and it suggested I need to do this. Yes, okay. But how? Can I somehow avoid dealing with the details of that? And it suggested this kind of specialized font creating programs. I said, well, I there was GIMP on the bottom, so I tried GIMP. I cannot use it. I don't know why. I just don't manage to. And then I asked it to write me a script to help me do that. And it was really, I mean, all of you know that it's kind of scary and fascinating to work with LLMs. This was scary and fascinating, because I told it, well, walk me through the script, and then there was a dialogue of what I wanted to do. I wanted a grid so that I can select my glyphs and then write that to files. And it created something for me, which I tuned a little bit, so like parameters here and there, and make this happen. But as you can see, I have these lines here. And then I can just close the window, and it saves all the things to individual files. That was just a fun experience. So.